Today's reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, and I'm reading from the ESV. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time, to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" Amen.
Sorry about that. Almost didn't get that in. Why so many rules? I did a bit of an experiment with a few people around the church and asked whether, you know, you feel that you understand the God of the Old Testament or you understand the God of the New Testament. And a lot of people, in fact, I would say most people, said they found the God of the Old Testament very difficult. There was a step change when you got to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you had this very harsh God. And in the New Testament, you had Jesus. And there is, I'm going to introduce a heresy in a minute. But why so many rules? Aren't we saved by grace? Isn't that the whole point of it? That we're not saved by what we do, we're saved by Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that we had so many of the songs today mentioned a word which is very precious. Cross. It's funny, isn't it? Some comedian once said, you know, all these Christians wear crosses, you know, to show their devotion to Jesus Christ. It'd be rather like having an Armalite rifle to show your devotion to JFK. You know, it was a torture instrument. But it shows God's grace. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Let me annoy you. Let's see whether I can annoy you. The God of the Old Testament is arguably one of the most unpleasant characters of all fiction. Jealous and proud of it. A petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak. A vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser, a misogynist, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilent. What? He's wasting his words there because I haven't got a clue what that means. Megalomaniacal, sadomasochist, capriciously malevolent bully. I know we wouldn't go as far as to say that about the God of the Old Testament, but we do have rather a strange view of this difference between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. Now, this is a famous picture, the God of the Old Testament riding on the clouds, pointing out all the things that you've done wrong, making a note down of all the things. He's got his basis, which is the Ten Commandments, and you don't keep up with them. And then you've got Jesus, who's nice to the lambsies. He likes lambsies. Now, this is called Marcionism. There's a guy called Marcion. He wasn't a Martian, but he was called Marcion. And Marcion believed that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament were two different gods. That the God of the Old Testament was this God of anger, and the God of the New Testament was the God of grace. Now, I'm saying all of this because we're going to be looking at the ten, what are called the Ten Commandments, the Ten Rules. They're not called that. I'm sorry, the ESV got it wrong. It's not rules there. It's statutes, that's the word that's used. It's not rule, as in, yeah, I'll explain it in a minute. But the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, we can cross out that image of the God of the Old Testament. That is not our God. That is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves the lambses. God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are the same God. We do not worship two gods. There is one and one alone. Okay, so when people say, you know, are they worshiping a different God? Well, how many gods do you think there are? There is one, only one God. But we can cross out our image. Do you remember me talking about how we make God in our own image? And we like rules. One of the things that really amazed me coming back to the UK was how many rules there are. How many rules do we have in this country? And we've got CCTV cameras to make sure that we keep the rules. Because if we don't, we're going to get arrested, we're going to get fined, we're going to get this and the other. So many rules. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, I was named after him, he didn't like rules. And in fact, he said that people accused him of being antinomian, which means to be against the law. He hated law. So we're going to look at the law. Now, law in the Old Testament is the word Torah. And Torah means teaching, it doesn't mean rules. What's the function of the law? Well, it demonstrates we can't keep it, first of all. That's what the New Testament says. Paul in Romans 3 says, we can't keep it. Here's the norm, and we can't keep it. You know, when people say, oh, I'm really not very good at this. Oh, they're all better than I am. I say, oh, yeah, probably they are. But if you really want good failure, compare yourself with Jesus. And then you're guaranteed to fall flat on your face because he's perfect. I'm not. And he knows it. And he is that Savior which we need. We need that Savior. We are not autonomous. Western culture would love to say, I can do it myself. I am the center of my world. And also the law is a guide to the function of a holy life. How do we live in the way that God wants us to live? Now, this slide I've got slightly wrong. I've got it the wrong way around, actually. The greatest law, love God and love neighbor, is distilled by the whole of the law in the Old Testament. What is the greatest law? Love God and love your neighbor. So that's a function of the law. It shows us how to love God. And love in the Old Testament is the word loyalty, commitment. You know, I can say I love Christmas. I don't. Okay, I love cheese. But I don't love cheese in the same way that I love God or my wife. I'm not committed to it. Although Wilma might actually disagree with me about that. When we don't have cheese, there's a major crisis in our household. But love is commitment, loyalty to God. And it also guides Israel. It guided Israel into the way that they should live that is a witness to the nations. Now, you can pick this up on YouTube and you can look up those verses, because God wanted Abraham and his children to be a witness to what the nations should be like. Deuteronomy 4:5 says, when the other nations see these laws, they will say, what a wise and understanding nation to have their God so close to them, the way that we have Yahweh close to us every time that we invoke him. So actually living a life, and Peter picks up on this, doesn't he? That live such good lives in front of the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they will glorify God on the day he visits us. So we're talking about the Ten Commandments. It's actually not the Ten Commandments. Here's a bit of a Greek lesson for you. Come on. Please. Pretty please. There you go. It is often called the Decalogue. Deca is 10, as in a decade is 10 years. Says he, entering his sixth. The log bit... It's not working properly. There you go. It's words. Who remembers you got an ology? BT. You got an ology. Biology. Zoology. Sociology. It's the words to talk about. So it is the 10 words. That's what the Bible calls this. The 10 words. They're not rules, they are the 10 words. Let me explain why this is true. Because when you have a rule or a law, if you keep the law, you're okay. If you drive 50 miles an hour through a contraflow system, you're keeping the law. If you go 70, then you'll get this little notice through from the Stevenage Highways Company that says you were doing 55 or 60. Sorry, we've got too many coppers in here. And you get fined. There are consequences of breaking the law. There are not punishments for breaking the law. Now, I can challenge you. In the New Testament, there's no place where Jesus says, or Paul says, or Peter or John say, you didn't keep this law, therefore you're condemned. Because that's not its function. The law, a law, has consequences. As we will see, it's not a set of consequences, it is a set of values. The most important comes first. Now, in this series, we'll be following a book by a guy called J. John. And the 10, what's it called? Just 10. He likes J's, doesn't he, J. John, with just 10. But he starts with number 10 and goes back to number 1. So when we started talking about this, I said, Nick, could we start at number 1 and go to number 10, please? And so we're doing it that way round. So if you're a life group leader, life group leaders, please note. We're starting with number one, which is chapter 10. You got it? Good. If you don't, come and see me afterwards. So it's a scale of values. The most important one is, of course, worship of God. You shall have no gods before me, and I'm going to come on to that. The identity of God. You shall not make a graven image. You shall not worship what you like. You shall worship. You won't make a graven image of it. Because that's your image of me, says God. I want you to worship me. I want you to have me, not your image of me. And boy, we have some great images of God in our minds. The name of God. Do not misuse the name of God. Names were important. Names were powerful. So you'd use a name to curse somebody. Do not use God's name like that. Because it doesn't fit in with his character. Then you get down to the scale of community. Everyone should have a day off. Actually, it doesn't matter whether it's Sunday. Any day off. 6 days you shall labor. On the seventh day you shall rest. And I'm going to be preaching on that in a few weeks' time. Boy, it's great fun. You don't know. I have so much fun with the Sabbath. And then you've got respect. Honour your father and mother. There is order in society. You've got to have order in society. You've got to have some sort of order. And honouring your fathers and mothers. And certainly for me, as a person who reads theological books, I should honour my theological fathers and theological mothers. You know, historically, life, everybody has a right to life. Do not murder. Have a safe life. Marriage. Everybody has a right to a safe marriage. That somebody will not come in and try and break that marriage up. Property. Oh, that comes down a lot down the scale, doesn't it? Property. Did you hear about the person who's going to be executed in Thailand because they stole millions of whatever it was, dollars? Being killed by the state for robbing. 6 years for murder, 20 years for robbery, 25 years for cryptocurrency. That's the value scale that we have in our society. Property comes way up, whereas to God, God is first, and community is more important. A good name. You have a right to the name you are given, not Paul. I'm talking about I have a right to be known as I am. And it sort of reflects the you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And finally, contentment. Don't try and get what's not yours. It's the base. How many times do you get this? Does this annoy you as much as it annoys me? That people say, money is the root of all evil. And I just go, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's not money. It's the love of money. It's what you do with your money. That's the important thing. Be content. Because if you're not... Now, this is applying to Christians, by the way, not to non-Christians. This is applying to Christians. Because can you imagine what you're saying to God if you're not contented, if you covet? Can you imagine what you're saying? Oh, sweetheart, thank you. What a wonderful Christmas present. I'd have liked two. Really? Is that what you're willing to say to God? You haven't given me what I want. You think I need this. I think I need lots more. So here we have a scale of values, a scale of God's values. Now this is being a disciple. Oh, sorry. Let me see if I can control this. Love God and love your neighbor. That is being a disciple. So we're not actually letting go of our idea of discipleship. We've been talking about this and we're linking this back to discipleship since Nick's sabbatical, where the Lord put on his heart that we should be disciples and make disciples. Okay, so love God and love your neighbor. Following the Ten Commandments perfectly will not make God love you more. Let that sink in for a second. Keeping the Ten Commandments perfectly will not make God love you more. Because he can't. It's not possible. God can't love you any more than he does. It's like we're full up with God's love. That's it. That's the lot. If you don't keep the commandments, won't make God love you less either. And I can never remember who said that originally, but I think it was... I can't remember who it was anyway. It wasn't me, that's for sure. So, this is the 10 words. And here we have, in the 10 words, at the beginning of the 10 words, the first word is what you'd call programmatic. When you look at something through the lenses of this law. Okay, this law like distills every other law. Every other word, sorry, I've used the word law, haven't I? This distills it. Be loyal to God. That's it. Saint Augustine, the church father, was asked about ethics. What is your ethics? What's your right and wrong? And very famously, Augustine said, love and do what you like. I don't like Augustine a lot, but that is a good line. Love and do what you like. Because if you love, you will do the right thing. Love God and you will do the right thing. Now, this is the complication. I've got to introduce the 10 words for the life groups as well. And I want to give you a tip about this. In Deuteronomy, you have the 10 words correspond to the Deuteronomy 12 to 26. You have no other God before me, no idols, don't misuse the name of God. It's distilled in Deuteronomy 12 to 14. Now, if you're a life group leader, please take a note of that off the of YouTube. Word four, the Sabbath day, Deuteronomy 15, about the debts and about the slaves. Word five, honoring parents, order in society, chapter 16 to 18. You should not murder. I've got a picture of Bourne there, because there's a wonderful line in the Bourne movies where somebody's saying, you know, shoot me. And he goes, she wouldn't want me to. His girlfriend had been murdered, wouldn't want him to, so he didn't murder that person. You shall not commit adultery. Love Actually. Okay? I remember a joke, people going, Moses came down the mountain and said, well, I've got him down to 10, but adultery's still in. Which is funny, it's a funny joke. But adultery is not that funny when you're the victim. And also money. Money will pursue you and it will eat you up. So when looking at one of the words in the Ten Commandments, recognize that they are expanded upon. So if you suddenly say, what does this mean? Go look at those other verses and it'll expand a bit more upon what these laws are about. Okay, very quickly. Word one, you shall have no other gods before me. If I can find where I am. You shall have no other gods, literally, before my face. So I got you to look at the prologue of the Ten Commandments because it's important. Verse 1. Everybody in Israel had to hear the law. The children, the slaves, everybody heard the law. It wasn't just the priests. It wasn't just the elders. It was everybody. So when a slave in Israel heard the law that said, after 7 years, you've got to release the slaves, they knew what their rights were under the covenant. Because it was universal to everybody in the community. Everybody was included. It's not down to just the leadership. Oops, sorry. Oh, dear. I'm not very good at this. The continuous nature of the covenant. It was not with your forefathers that I made this covenant. Now, on the mountain, they received the law. Exodus 20. They wandered for 40 years. Every single person of that generation died. They come to the edge of the land and Moses says, it wasn't with your forefathers, it was with us. It was as if you were standing at the bottom of the mountain. You were there. So I'm making it with you. You can't say, I'm sorry, that's past, that's gone. God makes his covenant with us. And I remember my parents saying, God has no grandchildren, he only has children. Because he makes that covenant with us, which I'll come back to in a minute. It's a personal covenant. I spoke to you face to face. Now, that doesn't really get very much, but it doesn't actually mean very much. But when you come out of COVID and you think, are we going to meet today? Yeah, we're going to go on Zoom. Not again. Oh, we're going to meet face to face. Do you remember that? That feeling? That feeling of euphoria that I'm going to meet somebody who I can not touch, but wear a mask, step back. But I'm going to meet face to face. And that's what God is saying. I spoke to you as another person. I didn't speak to you. I wanted to speak to you, but you wouldn't come up the mountain. Moses had to. But I spoke to you face to face. We were here together. And this is the personal nature of the Ten Commandments. This is not God throwing out the Ten Commandments from heaven, throwing them down to earth and going, okay, get on with it. This is God speaking to us. And also, most importantly, it's redemptive. It's a redeeming. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. God didn't send Moses down to Egypt with two dirty great tablets of stone, which he probably would have had several donkeys to take with him, and say, let's just see whether they can keep that. And when they've done just well enough, I'm going to save them. Is that okay? No. God knew what they were like. He knew that they were rebellious. They've been 400 years in Egypt. They've practically forgotten who this God Yahweh was. He knew what they were like. But out of his great love, he saved them. That's what I mean, that this is not consequences, because the consequence of our salvation has been dealt with. We have been saved by Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments are not to see whether we can be saved or not. The Ten Commandments are here to guide our lives so that we know how to live to please God. It's not for our salvation. We can't earn our salvation. I know how you feel. After 20 minutes of my sermons, I feel exactly the same way. So, this is not to do with law. This is to do with grace. That's what I'm saying. It's always grace in the end. I get passionate about this because God is a God of grace. I don't worship this misogynistic sadomasochist that Dawkins, with the benefit of complete and utter ignorance, pronounces about. I don't worship that God. He doesn't believe in that God, nor do I. Because it's relational. It's so literally the first word, you shall have no other gods before my face. That's what it literally says. See, I spoke to you face to face, and you shall have no other gods before my face. You shall not dance off and go for other gods. No, you'll be loyal to me. Because we spoke face to face. What other? Did Baal speak to you face to face? No. Did Bel, Nebo, all them lot? No, they didn't. I did. You shall have no other gods before my face. Which makes the whole thing, once again, personal and relational. So don't think this is a bunch of rules I've got to follow in order to please God. This is the norms. These are the words that God gave us. So Old Testament monotheism, having one God, is not philosophical. We have monotheism. I don't believe in any other gods. There's loads of powers who claim Have you ever thought of, for example, the markets? Oh, the markets won't be happy with this. Oh, the markets are going to punish them. The pantheon of the modern age, the markets, money, fame, all those things are gods that want to actually claim us. God says, no, this is a personal relationship with me. And my Old Testament lecturer, Chris Wright, said, exclusive covenantal sovereignty over the Israelites on the basis of the historical fact of the Exodus. And we obey God on the historical fact of Jesus' death and resurrection. So in the light of God's covenantal love for us, or for Israel, demonstrating the Exodus, Israel were to show their love to God by being fully and completely loyal to him and keeping his covenant. And that's where we are. That's the end of the journey. No, it's not. It's the start of the journey. How do we live in relationship to God through Jesus Christ? Do we keep a bunch of rules? Do we tick them off? Is he ticking them off? Because I can guarantee he's not. There is no recording angel. Except the rapping angel, he's recording. But his latest album isn't out yet. Forget it. It was a bad joke and it didn't work. The recording angel, he's recording an album. Nope, still didn't get it. I'm wasted here. I'll be here until Thursday, probably Tuesday. I'll leave tomorrow, in fact. what was I saying? Oh no, there is no recording angel. There's no angel that marks down whether you're doing well or not. Because that's been wiped away. And that loyalty is what God wants. He wants us to love him. And we love him by obeying him. Not out of fear. Not out of terror. We could be terrified of God, believe me. It's not. Do you remember how big this universe is? You know, he made it with a word. But we don't obey him out of terror. We obey him because we love him. Now, this is a massive privilege. This is not something that we do because we're forced to do it. It's something we do because we love God. And if you don't know that God, if you believe in that God of Dawkins or the fantastic spaghetti monster or whatever he calls it, then I urge you, reconsider. Read the Gospels. Come and talk to Nick. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to any of the band. Just come and experience this God of love. Because although we frame it in the terms of you shall have no other gods before me, what God is saying, the basis of all my relationship with you, is loyalty. And the reason is that God was loyal to Israel in redeeming them. I did not set my heart upon you, says God in Deuteronomy 7. Because you were the greatest of nations. Because you weren't. Thanks, Lord. You were the least. You were a stiff-necked people. I should have chosen somebody much easier to deal with, but I didn't. Because I promised Abraham I'd save you. And God has promised that if we trust in him, he will save us. So, and there's a few things. I'm not going to go on with the PowerPoint because I just feel that we need to. If you're a believer, this is something to share. It's part of being a disciple, isn't it? To share this great privilege. If you don't share, you know, if you've got people banging at your doors, don't make bigger walls, make a bigger table. We need a bigger table. share it. If you don't know this God, who's full of grace and love, please don't leave it. Don't leave it today. Come and talk to us. Come and share with us. And you can know this God of love as well. So this is the start of our journey through the 10 words. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall be loyal to me. You shall love me. And the way you're going to do that is by not making a graven image, by not misusing my name, because that's not based on love, by taking and allowing people to take a day off, by honouring your father and mother, by not killing, by not stealing, by being content. All of these things, we should be contented. So, here you go. It's a journey. I hope you can benefit from, be challenged by, enjoy even. You can tell that I enjoyed preparing this sermon. Enjoy God's great grace in giving us these words to guide us. Let's pray. Lord God, I do thank you that you promised us that you would save us in the Lord Jesus, and you have done. You're not this sadomasochistic God that Dawkins talks about. You are a God of love and loyalty and care. And you care for the least lambsy, and that really is me, who rebels against you, who constantly sins. But you still love me, and you still love all of us. Help us, Lord, if we know you, to be loyal to you. Be completely loyal. Don't let anything get in the way of our loyalty to you. Whether it be money, whether it be success, whether it be jobs, whether it be work, whatever it may be, Lord, help us to sacrifice all of that to you and to know you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help us, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.